with Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.
Film reviews and movie news.
Yes, it is. It's film reviews and movie news with me, Stuart Pink. And if he really was a firework, he'd probably be one of those fountains that doesn't light first time, then falls over and gets you. It's Mark Searby. It's always one in the box, isn't it?
Listen, all of the boxes that I've had in the past have all had them like that. But then I think it might just have been me not putting them properly, not having the correct firework etiquette.
I thought you were going to say manly skills. It's a real art, isn't it?
It is really. It really is quite an art doing fireworks. Yeah, absolutely. But obviously, everybody's got to stay safe as well. That's the
yes,
main thing.
Yes, stay safe. Go to proper show. They do it down the seafront, yes. South End. That's always a spectacle.
There you go, you see. There's plenty around.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, when you think about movies about fireworks, I mean, really, there's only one, which is V for Vendetta.
Oh, yes.
Obviously, you know, set around fireworks night and set around Guy Fawkes' legacy and the government. And I mean, it's very now.
I watched it last year,
right? Just because I thought, well, this is very topical. And I have to say, it's not aged well.
No? Oh, okay.
You know, that's the weird thing. Like, there's a lot in there where I'm like, this has not aged well. But then there's a lot of things in there where I'm like, oh, wow.
This is
very on point now. Yes. Yes. This is it. So it's a movie that hasn't aged well, but also has aged well. That's the thing.
Could do with a remake, do you reckon?
That's a good question.
Update it a little, but the story's still relevant.
The story is still relevant, more so than ever before, really.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think it's probably a movie of its time and remaking it. Having said that, we're saying about don't remake it and, you know, Hollywood's remaking everything.
It's bound to happen now, isn't it?
Yeah.
As long as we're in it, we don't mind.
Well, do I want to be in it? I don't know.
Could be one of the guys with the masks on. They won't know it's you.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'd be fine with that, actually, to be honest. Yes. Yeah.
Just don't blow me up.
Well, we wait to see. It depends.
I could have been in it because the last time I watched it, I remembered seeing my old TV. You know, I think the one she's got in her bedroom, the big 90s one.
Yeah.
With a little video player underneath. I'm sure I had that TV. I was like, oh.
Well, you see, that shows you how old the film really is,
yeah.
I guess. I mean, it's not that it is that, but it's just showing you that actually it's now, more than ever before, with something like that, a nostalgia film than anything else. Of course, it's still a political movie as well. I think first and foremost, that's what it is. But you look at it now, and I think that was my problem with it, is that you look at it now and you go, oh, it's more nostalgia than politics.
Yeah, it's not really what it was aiming for.
Yeah, exactly. But then, you know, look, time moves on. Of course it does. That's the way it is. Time moves on. And talking of time, we've got new movies.
Time waits for no man. Movies. Let's go.
Yes, yes. And the weird thing is, now me and you just discussed this off air, the weird thing is these movies that we're reviewing, we could have reviewed them last week for Halloween.
Yeah, another spooktacular week of movies.
Yeah, but they're out this week. And I don't understand film scheduling. I don't understand film distributing really either. So
perhaps they've still got more pumpkins to get rid of. So they're
probably.
Like, let's drag it
probably
out.
Yeah, let's get some more of that. Anyway, first movie this week. It's in cinemas. It's called Watcher. Now, first off, before I tell you the synopsis, this is not to be confused with The Watcher on Netflix. Okay, this is a completely different movie. That's a TV series. This is a movie called Watcher.
I thought you were just being polite and saying hello in like a bit of a Cockney way. Watcher, mate.
No, this is Watcher. So this is a story about a young American woman who moves with her husband to Bucharest and begins to suspect that a stranger who watches her from the apartment building across the street may be a local serial killer.
Oh dear. Now, that's always a worry.
I've just said that synopsis, and there's going to be a lot of people go, hang on a second. That sounds like a Hitchcock movie.
A lot of movies do that, yeah.
Well, listen, how many times have me and you said this over the past, 5 years we've been doing this, and the amount of Hitchcock rip-off clones that we've had, and, you know, we've said, look, everybody's still ripping off Hitchcock anyway, so why not, I guess, do a reverse-type Rear Window movie? And this one does follow a similar pattern to Hitchcock's iconic movie. But here we see Julia, who's the woman at the center of the film, go out into the city. Now, the way that the main storyline plays out is very much of Julia losing her mind because her husband doesn't believe her. And even she isn't sure what she is seeing. And part of the reason for that is it's a very dark movie. And not just in terms of tone, but also in terms of cinematography. I mean, it's difficult to see what is happening over the other side in the apartment building, basically. But then that's part of the reason, because we have to be at one with Julia as to her confusion with everything. Yet I don't think the film does that good a job on that level, because it does feel like Julia is a very cold and cut off person. Now, granted, of course, she is in a foreign country where she doesn't really speak the language, and that is part of the isolation experience that she's dealing with. And then you couple with that with the genuine fear of the possibility that the man who she keeps sort of seeing, maybe seeing, could be the serial killer that she keeps hearing about and seeing on the news. So you have this fish out of water, isolation, fear, angle, double jeopardy for Julia.
It's a good blend.
Yeah, it is. But as I said, it's dark. It's really dark. It's probably a little bit too dark, I think.
Yeah.
But then the issue with the film is that it gets so far with the genuine sense of fear of who the guy is in that apartment, and then doesn't really know what to do with it after that. It doesn't take it to the next level. So it kind of hits a point, and the film then sort of moves into a different direction that I didn't think really worked with what had gone before it, in order to, you know, keep that fear, just, you know, keeping you right on the edge going, oh, I'm not sure what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it is a bit of a lackluster final third, truth be told, really, which is a shame, because there's some good bits scattered throughout this movie. There is some genuine fear inducing sections, but there's other bits that just didn't work. I will say this. Maker Monroe is excellent as Julia. She's done a couple of leading lady horror movies in the past. She was in The Guest with Dan Stevens. I thought she was great in that.
Oh, right.
Yeah. She's done a few like that, you know. And she's been fantastic. And she's fantastic here, really. I mean, she's really good. Hmm. But the lack of taking the film to the next level, especially for her character as well, I just felt was a major downturn, really. So Monroe is great. Maker Monroe, we've got to specify that. Maker Monroe is great. The rest of the film is just about okay.
Yeah. Bit of a letdown. I mean, the setup for it sounded good, and the fact they've got a lot in the plot line to play with.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Didn't go anywhere.
That's the thing. Like, it's just, it's so disappointing, especially in that final third, because there's something happens in the final third, I'm not going to tell you, where I'm like, okay, this is the moment where it's really going to kick in, and you genuinely, you know, it turns into sort of a horror slash thriller, whereas the previous it had been sort of a thriller slash drama, and it just didn't do it. It just missed the next step up. That was a disappointment for me.
Oh, so whoever wrote The Watcher took their eye off it for a minute.
Oh, no.
Yes. So if you do want to be a watcher and watch it, where do you go other than the apartment block across the road?
Well, you don't go there. You don't go there. Okay. Absolutely not. So this is in cinemas only. In cinemas.
Oh, and that's creepy, because then you'll be seeing that scene with them sitting behind you.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, that is a bit of a worrying thing.
Do go with eyes in the back of your head.
Or just sit on the back row.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And hope there's no one in the big room behind you.
Yes, hopefully. Keep your finger for that, yeah.
Excellent. So Witcher out now. What else you got for us, Mark?
So now streaming on Apple TV Plus is a film called Causeway. And this is about a US soldier who suffers a traumatic brain injury while fighting in Afghanistan and struggles to adjust to life back home.
Oh, okay.
Now, obviously, as you can imagine, any film that deals with PTSD from wartime has to tread very carefully in terms of how it's depicted on screen. Because, you know, it's a tough subject.
Yeah.
It's, you know, not only have you got to get it right, but you also have to make sure that it feels real to those watching. So you know, any film that's dealing with that. So this film especially has to really hit the right notes in order to make the emotions come out and make it feel very real. Now, does this film do it? I kind of don't think it does. I don't think anything can be leveled at Jennifer Lawrence or Brian Tyree Henry, because I think they both give very subtle and very nuanced performances. I think it's more to do with the writing of the characters and their dialogue that is the issue, because neither seem to have any power or emotion behind them. You know, it's not that I felt cold watching them or listening to them tell their stories in the film. It's just that I didn't really feel the emotional turmoil that Jennifer Lawrence's character, Lindsay, is going through. And she talks quite openly about the struggles in everyday life, not just with her doctor, but also with her car mechanic friend, James, who's played by Brian Tyree Henry. They become friends. So you do get the full picture as to what she is going through, but it just never hits those emotional notes that I feel the film like this should really be aiming for. You know, this is the type of film that wants to shine a spotlight on these problems that war veterans face. And while, yes, okay, it does do it to a certain degree, I don't think it fully hits all of the notes to make you as invested in their struggles as it should do.
Really. Yeah, and get you on board.
Yeah. The other thing to say about this movie is that it is a quiet movie. It's a very minimal movie. There are hardly any characters in this film. The whole thing relies on Jennifer Lawrence and Brian Tyree Henry, who, as I said, both really good. Both really good. But there are times where I felt like, oh, just go a bit further with the character development. Go a bit more with it. You know, we'll understand a bit more. There are a couple of scenes, actually, where it's just them two, where you can literally feel it's about to explode. Like, you're finally going to get those emotional moments and it's going to hit you hard and you're going to cry and everything else. And it doesn't. Instead, it sort of pulls back. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if that's because it's fearful of being a movie about people shouting and the filmmakers don't want that, or if it's just it's always going to be a reserved movie. It just kind of doesn't have a release for the two characters, not even between themselves. There's moments where you think it's going to happen and it doesn't.
Yeah.
So that's one of those things. I'm just sat there, I'm going, oh, just go on, just you know, let it go a bit more, let it go. And it doesn't. Mm-hmm. I was disappointed with that, I've got to be honest. So I think while the film does an amicable job of telling a very real story, I just don't think it hits as emotionally hard as it thinks it does. It is a very reserved movie that I do think lacks that emotion.
That's a shame, because we've seen Jennifer Lawrence in plenty of things before where she can let it go and take it to that level.
Look, let's be honest here. Jennifer Lawrence is a phenomenal talent. Yeah. Phenomenal. You know, even if you take out Hunger Games, okay.
Why would you do that?
I know, but I'm sort of taking that out because, you know, that's Hollywood big blockbuster, her running and jumping.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about other movies. You know, I think she's amazing in American Hustle. She has that ability to make any character feel very real. And she does that here. That's the thing. Like, you do feel Lindsay is very real, but you're just missing that emotion that should come with that type of character and all of the experiences they've gone through, which is a shame. But look, as I said, Jennifer Lawrence is great in this. Brian Tyree Henry is great, who, you know, is now really making a name for himself as one of the good, one of the actors. I was going to say up and coming actors, but that's wrong. He's been up and coming since, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago when I first saw him in Atlanta, the TV show.
He's up and come now. He's got there.
He has. Absolutely. So, you know, it's a good small cast. I like the way that Lawrence and Tyree Henry play off each other, but just that emotion was just missing for me.
Oh, shame. As this film just, I say, like low, not as that many characters in it. Mm. Only hour and a half. It didn't need, just needed a bit longer scenes or just.
I don't know if it needed longer scenes. I just think it needed to let that emotion flow. Let it come out properly. Let us understand the real trauma that Lindsay is suffering, because then we'll understand it even more. That's the thing. And I've seen movies that have done this before and done it very well. But this one, as I said, you're just waiting for it and it doesn't happen and you're like, oh, I'm so frustrated with it.
Yeah. Ah, damn, that's annoying. Two fairly frustrating films. Where could we find Causeway?
So Causeway streaming exclusively on Apple TV Plus. Oh, actually, do you know what? I think it might be in select cinemas as well. I think Apple are doing this thing now.
Oh, right.
So it could be in select cinemas, but it is definitely streaming on Apple TV Plus.
Excellent. What you got for us on the podcast?
So, it's another supernatural movie, which, as we said, could have done it last week. So in cinemas right now is a movie called Something in the Dirt. And this is about neighbors John and Levi, who witness supernatural events in their Los Angeles apartment building. They realize documenting the paranormal could inject some fame and fortune into their wasted lives. But their friendship starts to fray when they uncover the dangers of the phenomena.
Oh.
Now, here's the thing. Obviously, me and you have spoken at length about you don't like scary movies. You don't like horror movies.
Yeah. I'll be able to sleep at night. That's it, really.
Yeah. Now, you've seen the trailer for this. Before I give you my answer, would you watch this, having seen the trailer?
I think I'd give it a go, because it seems to have this sort of comedy edge to it. It looks a little, not silly. It seems to still be a bit scary, but...
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting you bring that up, because I was watching this and I came away and I thought, you know what? I think Stuart would be perfectly fine with this, because it is not a horror movie in the traditional sense.
No. Okay.
I think this is a science fiction movie, actually. And the reason I think that is because it's from two of my favorite directors, Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead. This is their latest twisty-turny, very thinky science fiction movie. Whereas their previous films like Spring and The Endless, highly encourage people to see The Endless, absolutely amazing. Those movies build to big cinematic climaxes with incredible CGI and tremendous storytelling. This film actually keeps it small scale and low down and dirty, but not in a bad way. I think it's much more in tune with the real world than their past movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, watching this film feels like it is a modern day shot on any street corner apartment block in LA about two guys' lives. Then you throw in the supernatural element and it becomes a very different movie. It sort of becomes like a found footage, maybe a documentary horror as well with afterthoughts. But then that's not really the film as well, because, yeah, you've got the supernatural scares, which actually start early on, to be fair. But they're not scares. They're not jump scares. They're more spooky in nature. Mm. The real scares are actually very real. That's the point of this. And what I mean by that is that the film delves into friendships and how they can break apart based on, you know, just small pieces of information or misinformation, actually. That's the best way of saying it. You know, this is a film about two guys who they've only just met, but actually they're starting to trust each other. But are they trusting each other? You know, you're never really sure. But they trust each other to try and make enough money.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Of course.
So you see, so that true friendship is still in question throughout, even though you've got money there. And then the other thing that this film raises is about misinformation. You know, the film very much plays in the here and now of America with the rise of QAnon and other conspiracy theorists as well. It plays into all of that. It's, you know, it twists and turns in all different manner of film genre making. It could on some level be seen as a pre-apocalyptic movie as well. But this is another movie from Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead who defy making a film in one genre. That's what they've done here.
I kind of like that a lot of directors do that these days. I think we've found a few films recently where it seems to be less worrying about whether it's this or that, or they're just, we're going to make a film and it's going to have all these elements to it.
Absolutely. You're absolutely spot on. And I like the fact that these guys are still getting films made. They're still getting budgets, which is great because, you know, these are not mainstream movies. The Endless is not a mainstream movie. Spring is not a mainstream movie at all. Yet there is a fan base for it. I include myself in here. And they're getting made. I mean, look, it's... I've said this before and I'll say it again. If you're a fan of the work of David Lynch, then you should be watching Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead movies, because they're playing in the same sandpit.
Yeah.
But they have their own ideas. You know, as I said, more science fiction than Lynch's horror. This one's a bit deeper than the others. This one's a bit of a thinker. I was watching it and I wasn't instantly taken. I'm sat there going, well, it's a good movie. It's a good movie, but it's not wowing me in the same way that their previous movies did. And then I finished watching it. And over the past few days, I saw this at the start of this week. Over the past few days, I've continued to think about it more and more.
Oh.
There are bits that have been sticking around longer and longer. So I think this is the type of movie that is going to really appreciate rewatching as well. I think, you know, there's so much to unpick in it. As I said to you, you know, it's a horror movie, but then also it's a movie about two guys trying to make a fast buck. It's also a movie about conspiracy theories. It could be a pre-apocalyptic movie. It could be a post-apocalyptic movie. That's the thing about this movie. You don't really know when it is set, apart from you know it's set in modern day, but that doesn't mean that it is now in LA. It could be, you know, in 6 months' time or a year's time. They cleverly don't tell you that, and that's the thing. So there's a lot to unpick here, a lot to unpick. Yet at the same time, I think this is probably Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead's most real film to date, their most, you know, humanistic movie. Is that the right terminology?
Yeah.
Maybe not. The one that's most grounded. Let's go with that.
Most
and I look forward to seeing it again, but I'm going to give it a bit of space and let it percolate with me a little bit longer.
Yeah. I like, do like a film that sort of stays with you, though, that you can sort of think about and leaves an impression.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I mean, look, let's face it, we reviewed Tenet, what, 2 years ago?
Oh, God,
yeah. 2 years? Yeah, yeah.
Still don't quite understand
it. There's a film. Yeah. Well, you either love it or you hate it. I mean, I'm a lover of it. I really am. And, you know, there's a film that stays with you. Something in the Dirt will stay with me. It really will.
Nice. So everyone else is panning for gold. They found Something in the Dirt.
Well, you know, it, as much as that's a funny pun, there is something to that when you see the film.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't want to say too much more. No, I'm not going to say too much more. But yeah, there's something in that. And it's weird as well, because you haven't seen the film.
No. Okay. Okay, I have to watch it now.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So where's this out?
So this is in cinemas only.
Oh.
So exclusively in cinemas. And I have to say, it does look good on the big screen. As they always do. But this is what I just said to you, wasn't it? Justin Benson and Aaron Moorhead movies all look great. They've got these incredible CGI climaxes. I mean, this one doesn't have it, but it's got some other things that look great on the big screen.
There is some pretty good shots in the trailer of birds circling and stuff that look pretty well shot.
Yeah. And then there's other things in there as well, which I don't know if they meant something or if they didn't, but once again, I'm going to have to go back and watch it just to see if I can understand it more.
Nice. What you got for us next week, Mark?
So next week, we are going to be talking about a new family animated movie on Netflix. It's called My Father's Dragon. It is the new movie from Cartoon Saloon. They're based in Ireland. One of my favourite animation houses. They gave us Wolfwalkers 2 years ago, which
was just
a phenomenal
like that.
Piece of work. Yeah. So they've got a new movie out called My Father's Dragon. And then we're also going to we're going to be talking about the new film from Quentin Dupieux. Now, he's the guy who both of us go a little bit crazy for, because he's the guy who made the film about the killer leather jacket.
Oh, yes.
Deerskin. And he also made a movie about a killer car tire called Rubber. This time, you're laughing. The thing is, we're both fans. We really are. This time, he's made a film called Incredible But True about a couple who buy a house, and yet there is a hole in the basement. I'm not going to say anymore. No, next week there's a hole in the basement. Okay, let's put it that way.
Okay, and see where he takes that.
Yeah, and I'll say this. I will tell you this. It's not a horror movie.
Okay, it's not horror.
It's not a horror movie. So the new film from Quentin Dupieux, who a lot of people will remember from the 90s as Flat Eric, you know, Mr. Oizo, the song.
Oh, wow.
He's a film director.
Oh, so, amazing. What a guy. So
I know. And he still DJs as well. He still DJs.
Does he wear the deerskin jacket when he does it?
To be fair, the videos that I've seen him in, he doesn't.
Ah. Oh. But
I'd be worried if he was wearing that deerskin jacket. For anybody who doesn't know what we're talking about, look up the film Deerskin and you just look at the trailer. It's a French film.
It's on iPlayer at the moment.
It's so, on my goodness.
I'm going to get it watched before we chat, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
There we go. There's some homework for everybody. Please watch Deerskin. It's on BBC iPlayer. It is a movie you will never forget. I can guarantee it.
You'll never want to buy a secondhand jacket again.
You won't. And also, just to say, it is less than 90 minutes. I think it's something like 80 minutes, 82 minutes, something like that. And you're right, you'll never want to buy a jacket again.
Brilliant. I shall get that watched and bring my jacket with me next week.
Oh, no. Leave the jacket at home, please. No jacket required.
Film reviews and movie news. With Stuart Pink and Mark Searby.